Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Path to Transcendence podcast. So I'm excited because today this is a continuation of the upcoming book that is a dystopian adventure sci-fi book titled The Year 2050. And I'm excited to speak about this book because if you listen to the first podcast, you'd know very well what the book is about and how I'm trying to, in this book, paint a picture of what future we ought to expect if we do not pay attention to the time that we're living in right now and the decisions that we're making and what we choose to consent with. So this book is my way of exploring symbolic ways to portray this to the masses. And that is one of the main goals of this book. It's to help individuals entertain themselves, escape into a whole new reality, but a reality that one needs to take heed of, to be attentive of. Because if one negates or ignores what's painted in this book, we'll experience what the book was trying to portray. So today we are going to continue off from where we left off in the book. And where we left off was when Sam was being introduced and he was in a classroom setting with a teacher called Mr. Rashford. Now, Mr. Rashford is a strict teacher and it was apparent in that description. But as Sam was about to leave, upon the time of the lesson coming to an end, Mr. Rashford called Sam to his desk and announced to him, gave him a piece of paper that's basically making the announcement that he was suspended with immediate effect, right? Because he could no longer pay his school fees. All right, so we're going to continue from that point on. We're going to continue from that specific section and then we'll get up to a whole new point. I'm not too certain where it is that I'm going to choose to stop in this particular podcast, but I think we'll cover a great number of texts here. So I just want to go back here to the point where I stopped, where it said immediate suspension. Okay, so grab your popcorn, get ready, get comfortable. Hope you're seated and having a good time. If you're not seated, hope you're allowing your ears to be like a sponge and absorb the story that I'm about to tell you. I hope you get lost in it. So here goes. I'm sorry, Sam, but you cannot come back to class until you've made a payment. But we have an examination next week. What am I supposed to do? Mr. Rashford stood from his chair, walked over to Sam, and removed his glasses to clip them on his maroon sweater. His body language drummed 1,000 words, and none of them were roses and sunshines. I don't know, boy. Maybe school's not cut out for you. The world revolves around money, and if you don't understand that, you're setting yourself up for failure. Have you not noticed where you are? You're in one of the poorest cities in our country, and the chances for you to succeed are close to none. If you want my advice, get a job, save your money, and maybe come back to school when you can afford to. Mr. Rashford went back to his desk and dismissed Sam out of the class as he continued the conversation with his lady. The school hall was crowded, from the stench of exercise football players to raspberry hints of the most feminine scent, fluttered with murmurs from various students, none of which captured Sam's attention like the voice in his head screaming in uncertainty. He tried to navigate his way to his locker room,
but his oversized bag had him bumping unsuspected victims that crossed his path, apologizing to each of them softly under his breath. "Ahoy there, Sam." Lance, who was Sam's only friend in Cranmer High School, called him from a distance. His husky voice had no trouble reaching the far ends of the hall. He wore black shades, a white cap fitted backwards with a noted golden dollar sign on top, a long brown coat that stretched down to the floor that covered his size 15 Birkenstock boots. "You going straight home today?" "Yeah. I want to work on my device before Ma comes home. You and me both know she's not coming till the late of dawn. I'm playing pool down the vale. Come kick it with me." "I don't know, Lance. I have a lot to get done." Sam, unfortunately, was a people pleaser. He struggled to say no, especially since Lance was pretty popular in school and somehow still gave Sam the time of day. "Come on, boy, live a little. The second the street's lights go off, I promise I'll drive you back home myself." Sam discreetly hesitated at first, but the more Lance continued to prod, he finally agreed. They got out the school building and hopped in Lance's red 1984 Chevrolet Impala. The interior had cream white leather seats that carried a new scent that lingered pleasantly. Sam tossed his bag in the trunk and jumped in the passenger seat as he strapped his seatbelt on. Lance, with one hand on the steering wheel, the other fiddling in his jacket, pulled out a 5-inch Camel cigarette and a black Harvey Davidson lighter. He sparked it up and winded down the windows to let the smoke air out. A harsh scent of tobacco and an eye-watering stale odor whirled through Sam's nose and face. Lance turned his head and looked at Sam in the eye as he blew the smoke out of the window. Sam aggressively waved off the lingering smog away and inadvertently coughed it in the process. "I know what you're thinking," Lance said. "Excuse me," he remarked, not knowing what Lance was on about. "I said, I know what you're thinking. How does a guy like me, who barely attends school, with D's on his scores, get such a hot rod?" "Well, I'm curious now. How did you do it?" Sam asked as he brushed his hands over the leather seats, appreciating the smooth line texture. Lance, with a slight smirk, placed his hands in his side pocket again, this time pulling out something that Sam didn't expect. A 5-gram pack of indoor marijuana that was so potent, the scent had the whole car reeking the second he opened the bag. "Is that what I think it is?" Sam exclaimed. "Hush, before your mind begins to race, I want you to disregard every single thing you've heard and learned about this. It's all a lie. I'm trying to keep my brain cells, not burn them up smoking," Sam said, chuckling to himself, knowing very well what smoking marijuana chronically could do. Then suddenly, Lance decided to apply more pressure on the pedal, a silent act of revenge on Sam for making such remarks. He instantly grabbed his seat. His eyes had terror written all over them. Never had he felt a car go faster than 100 miles per hour. "Are you crazy? You're going to get us killed," Sam shrieked as he grinded his teeth, anticipating the worst. "You see, that's your problem. You live life within your boundaries, and that, dear boy, stops you from living." Lance continued to speed off, swerving away from cars with just inches to spare. It was clear that he brought a sense of chaos in Sam's life, and somehow Sam was unconsciously drawn to it. Ever since his father's death serving in the military, his life seemed vacant of something. As intelligent as he was, He had no idea what ignited his choice in friends. All he knew was he felt really good around him. They finally reached the bar. It was downtown by a narrow road in Abbey Street. It was a lively place in all hours of the day and night. The ambience always had a subtle echo of music, chimed in with the murmurs between the city folk downtown. As Sam and Lance stepped into the bar, they came across a bouncer whose head nearly touched the ceiling. He was bald with a full beard that stretched across his face and an intimidating glare in his eyes that said, "Do not even try test me." He proceeded to pat down Sam first, frisking his side pockets in somewhat of an aggressive way. Once he was done, he placed his hand on Sam's back and shoved him inside the bar. Sam was perplexed by this treatment. He was not a regular visitor at Baker Point. As he entered the club, the bass from the music made the ground throb underneath his feet. Waitresses and the early day groovers were moving up and down in a dimly lit open space. The bar was on the left with the pub-style table, varnished with a marble top that shined from a distance. A few older men and women sat by the counter, each with a cold glass of 75 beer deep in conversation. The place seemed laid back, but the loud music made Sam feel a tad bit restless. He looked back to see where Lance was. From what it seemed, he was still preoccupied with the bouncer. Lance seemed to handle the situation with a bit more grace compared to Sam. He raised his hands, giving the bouncer an opportunity to freely frisk him. The bouncer probed Lance's outfit and felt a bulge that was prominent in his side jacket. Lance wasted no time and showed no sense of timidity. He pulled the stash of weed out and dangled it in the bouncer's face. "This what you're looking for?" he said, swerving it left to right. "No smoking in here. Can you not see the sign?" the bouncer said as he poked his log-like fingers on the sign that read, "Smoking is prohibited." "It's all good. I gotcha." Lance quickly wiggled his way out of a potentially dramatic situation, miraculously with the stash still in his possession. He placed his hand behind Sam's back and nudged him forward, a clear signal to get moving before their luck ran out. Lance led him to a private room. The lights shined on an old pool table that had a couple of billiard balls and a cue in the center. Not many people were inside. A couple of empty bar stools and a glittering disco light that only flickered blue and red hovered over the room. "You want a break?" Lance stretched his hand, offering Sam a wooden, re-tipped cue stick. Sam nodded in agreement, grabbed the cue firmly in his hands, and just like that, the games commenced. Time took flight. They played for hours. Lance sunk most of the balls in, and Sam unfortunately had countless scratches. Nonetheless, they both had a good time. In fact, Sam had a couple of drinks, two glasses of mojito cocktails to be specific, which was quite unusual for him. Never would he indulge in any kind of substance that would alter his mind, especially in the middle of the week. It seemed Lance was more persuasive than he imagined, but for a moment he drifted away from the conversation he had with Mr. Rashford earlier that day. It was an escape, as you may, a short excavation away from his earthly concerns. However, reality was soon to dawn upon him. Unfortunately, the passage of time made itself known when Sam had a glance at his black rubber band watch. It was 9:45 p.m. and his mother always made it a point to be back before the street lights went off at 8:00. Fortunately for Sam, the sun was slow to set in the early summer of Bakerville. So when they got outside, the night sky was alive with orange and purple hues, smoothly lined on the edge of the horizon. The city lights sparkled up the sky and lit up the streets as Sam and Lance got into the car. Lance began to tune the radio dial to his favorite channel, Bass and Melodies, an old-school hip-hop station that was steadily growing in popularity around the neighborhoods. Jazzy B and Lady Whip hosted in the late evening, exchanging deets on the sounds that were making rounds in the city. It just so happened that Lance's favorite track was playing, Massive Heat, from an upcoming artist called Maxter. The song was multi-layered with bass drops and a jazzy finish, which made it a joy to hear. Driving down the lane, smoking on the haze, guilty pleasures written on my face. Oh, I'm about to catch a case, move in with an ace and a classic beat. Only Maxter, baby, gon' bring the massive heat. Lance recited every lyric while bopping his head to the rhythm of the song. He snapped his head so intensely, many would assume he was trying to bop his own head off. Sam, on the other hand, was not so enchanted by the song. He was slightly more aware of the lyrics than Lance. Growing up in Bakerville was a hassle. Violent crimes were a norm, and the streets were lurking with gangs and criminals ready to pounce any innocent victim that stood in their way. So hearing words that perpetuated this reality was distasteful to him. But somehow, someway, the jazzy finish eventually had him bopping his head inadvertently. After a couple of minutes, they finally arrived in Lincoln Street, where Sam stayed. It was a small neighborhood where each house had 100 meters of space and a long and small picket fence that separated them from each other. The houses were made of neatly stacked bricks with an overlay of brown colorant. His front door had a porch and the number 23 glimmered at the center. Lance parked his car right beside Sam's house and cut the engine and the music off. "I guess this is it," he remarked as he turned his attention towards Sam, who was glaring at the window to see if his mom was home yet. "Yeah. Thanks for the night. I'll see you tomorrow." Sam reached out and shook hands with Lance, and as he made contact, he felt a foreign, strangely contoured object being placed in his palms. He drew his hand closer to the light that was emanating from the street lamps and was flabbergasted when he realized what it was. A 2-inch thinly rolled joint rocked back and forth in the palm of Sam's hands. He immediately felt a surge of anxiety, since marijuana was illegal in Bakerville and the B.K. police were not so kind to lawbreakers. "Why are you giving this to me? Take it back!" Sam exclaimed. "Chill out, bro. You got a lot on your mind. It's not hard to tell. You look miserable every time I see you," Lance said, slowly appealing to Sam. He knew very well that he was going through a lot. If my mom finds this, she'll kill me right on the spot." "Well, you just make sure she don't catch you. Now get out my car. Home is a whole 30-minute drive for me." Sam silently looked at Lance. He could tell he was being duped, but it was getting later by the second, so he instinctually chose not to protest. He shoved the blunt deeply into the layers of his bag and stepped out the car. Lance wasted no time and drove off, leaving the trail of the Impala fumes behind. Sam walked up to his front porch and shuffled in his deep pockets for the keys to the door. It didn't take him long to find it, since a big round chrome disc was attached to it, engraved with silvery stars and the crescent moon, a token of the deep appreciation he had for space. As he opened the door, he noticed that the lights were still off. It was completely dark, with the remnants of light emanating from the static TV that was left on. It was clear his mother wasn't home yet. A sense of relief dawned in his heart as he entered and closed the door behind him. He flicked the lights on, and a sheet of paper resting on top of the kitchen counter caught his attention. It was a note from his mom. "The drones have me cooking till late. I left your food next to the sink. Please take out your clothes and put them in the washing machine. Love you. Be home soon, my little Trexler." Sam was slightly annoyed. He despised his mother calling him little Trexler. The name was derived from a scientist that made a groundbreaking discovery in the realms of quantum physics. A discovery so monumental that it had scientists scrabbling to understand dimensions and their effect on the world. Sam was so intrigued by this technology that he spent 4 years building his own Hadron Collider. He spent hours researching and many more hours gathering the materials he needed to construct it. It consumed Sam to such an extent that he never stepped outside his house on weekends and summer vacations. Sam raced upstairs to his room and collected all his dirty socks on the floor and a couple of shirts and pants he repeated that weekend. He went downstairs and chucked the clothes into the front loader that was next to the refrigerator. Just as he was about to close it, his heart almost fell straight from his chest. A crop-sized picture of his father laid on top of his black creased shirt. It was his most treasured snapshot in his life, the day when he won an award in his science fair. His dad had his arms around him with a broad smile that painted a picture of a proud father. Despite Sam's goofy cap that had Drexler's initials inscribed, the round table they stood by was draped in a black velvet cloth. A golden trophy cup etched with number 1 was cupped around Sam's hands. If his life ever had a pinnacle, that would be it. And now such a treasured moment was reduced to a photo. He shoved it in his right pocket and blew a deep sigh. Sam's father was no longer alive. He died in a horrendous car accident driving down the freeway late at night. The autopsy reported traces of alcohol in his system. This may have caused the accident, but no one knew for certain. Sam went back to his room with a heavy heart. The only thing that could sprout the joy that was still in there was his miniature collider. It weighed about 40 kilos, so pulling it out from underneath his bed was a colossal task. A metallic glow emanated from it that brought a smile to his face. A cold metallic texture with 4 separate metallic cylinders connected by bronze fiber optic cables. More fiber cables needed to be connected to increase the acceleration of the subatomic particles, but Sam still struggled to fine-tune it, so he spent the remaining time at his hands trying to get his collider to work. A few hours that felt like minutes passed till the shuffling of keys downstairs beckoned Sam's attention. The creak from the door opening rang through the passage, and by the click of the shoes, Sam immediately knew it was his mother's black 2-inch heels she wore to the Jones. "Drexie, are you home?" she yelled amongst the sounds of plastic bags that chimed in. Sam dropped what he was doing and instantly went downstairs to help his mother pack. In truth, he was more concerned with the exclusive science magazines she would bring back home from work. She knew very well the books piqued his interest, so she would always ask Mr. Jones for a copy every week, and he wouldn't mind at all because they clogged up the space in his office. Sam was thrilled and above elated when he discovered that the edition his mom came with had a sneak peek of an exclusive interview with the scientist working on the largest collider in the country. "Thank you, Ma. You have no idea how excited I am to read this." "You're welcome, my boy. How was school today?" The second she asked this question, Sam was viciously thrown back to the reality. Mr. Rashford's face and the letter of suspension infested his mind. School was fine, I guess. Sam didn't dare tell his mom that he was suspended. She had a lot on her plate, and adding to this would probably cause her high blood pressure to surge. "Great. Listen, I'll be leaving extra early tomorrow morning. I have to help Mrs. Jones to get her son by the train station at 5 a.m. Can't those people do anything by themselves? Seriously? Think about this, my love. The more work I do, the better our lives can be. Ever since Dad left, I've been really struggling, but we'll make it through, I promise. A look dwelled in her eyes that laid bare to her desperation, grasping on for any piece of hope she could find in her heart was her only option. Sam, too, was desirous in any possible hope of escaping Bakerville. Unfortunately, this was merely a fantasy without some kind of traumatic shift in fortune. And this shift wouldn't come from his mother's strenuous hours spent serving the Jones family and working as a waitress.
Okay. All right. So we'll stop there. That was a whole lot of reading. My mouth is even dry. I think I need a glass of water after reading all that. But yeah, so the story concludes with that, the fact that Sam's mother is struggling and Sam does not want to reveal to her that he got suspended. So it's something that he chose to keep secret from his mom because he doesn't want to flare up her high blood pressure, which is a disease she's dealing with, accompanying all the stress she's in after the passing of Sam's father. But Sam is working on a Hadron Collider. Now, if you are one of my viewers, you know very well what a Hadron Collider is. If you're not aware of what that is, it's basically what CERN is working on right now. They've built a collider and they're refining it to ensure that they collide two subatomic particles or a large amount of subatomic particles to create dark matter. And dark matter will then give them access to other dimensions. So Sam, the character in the story, is working on that very same technology, but he built a miniature version of it. So what's going to come next is going to thrill you guys. It's going to thrill you, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to enjoy this whole story. So stay tuned and peace, love, and light. We're going to end it off here. Hope you guys have a magnificent weekend or week. Sorry, today is actually Monday for me. All right. So I hope you guys have a magnificent week. Stay tuned. Follow the Instagram page of the year 2050, which is the.year2050. Simple. All right. Peace, love, and light, ladies and gentlemen. See you guys next time.